Friends, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. It's good to see you. Thank you for joining us in worship today. Thank you and welcome you who are in this space. And thanks to you and welcome also to those of you who are joining us online. Many of you in real time here and others of you later, whenever and wherever you can be part of us from. You enrich us by your presence. As always, there are words of announcement and encouragement in the bulletin insert. I will call your attention to two of them. One is that we are still, throughout the month of July, collecting baby-related stuff for use in the Ministry of Hope Clinic. Tremendous ministry of care for people who live in substantial material need. Take a look at that item. See how you can make your own gift. And this coming Tuesday, there is a pizza in the park party for us. A chance to be together, have some fun, and enjoy some tasties together. It's out at County Farm Park. You will see that we would like to have an RSVP so we know how much to order. Please come be a part of that. Specify anchovies or not. Other announcements are there. For now, the moment of worship is upon us, and we seek, as we are able, to set distractions aside, to breathe, to let ourselves be centered in a new alertness and availability to the Holy Spirit. Let us open ourselves and receive the gifts of God and make our own gifts in response.
Please stand if you're able. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day to worship in your holy sanctuary. Bless us. Ease our griefs and concerns. Let your love shine in our hearts, that we may be a beacon to others this day and always. Amen. Justice your sacrifice and trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good.
You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and wine abound.
I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make my
thank you.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin which dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Open our ears, Lord, so that we may listen. We're asking God to help us open our ears so that we can listen. And one of the things Jesus talks a lot about is sharing. Do you like to share? Oh, I'm not sure I always like to share. Sharing is hard. But Jesus says over and over again to share. And we keep asking God to help us listen to Jesus. Jesus says to share what we have. And one of the ways we do that is by listening to people who are really good at sharing. And there is a group called CAN. It's short for something. It's short for Community Action Network. And they are really good neighbors. And they make sure all kids have what they need. All kids have what they need. So they're really good at sharing, and they're really good at helping us share. And so we listen to them, and they say, hey, here's what we need. Do you need backpacks? What do you use a backpack for? School. And do you fill it with what? What kind of things do you fill it with?
Stuff.
School stuff. Let's see. I brought some school stuff in here in my backpack. This is my. I use a backpack, too, to bring things around. And let's see. Oh, here's something we had at church that we use at school. Binders. Sometimes we use that for writer's workshop or reader's workshop. Math, my favorite, math. Let's see what else we have in here. Do you love to use a brand new glue stick? I do. Do you hate to use old glue sticks that don't really work? Oh, we like to have new glue sticks. Okay, so let's see. I think I have one more thing in here. No, not there. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here. This has Teresa's name on it because we use this at church, and we also use these at school. So we were listening to CAN, and CAN said, oh, hey, here are some things that kids need, and not all kids have what they need. So could you share? That's what CAN asked of us, and that's what Jesus keeps saying, share, share, share. So these are things we use at church, and they're things kids need at school. So in past years, we used to bring backpacks to church to give. And we used to bring the binders. But you know what? This year, we were listening to those who are helping, and they said, can you buy it online instead? So guess what we're going to do? We're going to do some shopping right here during Time as Children. I've never done this before. Have any of you shopped at church? Don't say it if you have. No, we're going to shop right here together because this is what we're listening. We're listening, and the folks who help make sure all kids have what they need said, hey, could you go shop online? So look, we're going to our website, And here it says, oh, here's where you can shop for kids. So I'm going to click on this link. Let's see if we can find where, you can scoot closer so you can see, scoot close, let's see. I'm going to look, oh, here are binders. Look at, this is a list of all the things kids need. So should we get some binders? Let's get these, see these beautiful rainbow binders? Let's do this. We're going to get this. We're going to add it to our cart. Good. Done. All right. Kids at First Baptist use binders. We're going to make sure all kids can have binders. Let's see. What else? What else do we have here? Oh, glue sticks. Let's find the glue sticks. Tell me if you see them. Oh, here they are. Glue sticks. Let's add those to the cart. Okay. And then we need one more thing. What was the other thing we had? Oh, notebooks. Just like the one with Teresa's name on it. Yeah. Teresa's helping us see right here. Okay. Let's do that. So we have money here at church that we use to buy things for kids at church. And we're going to use some of that money that we have to buy the things we need for kids at church. We're going to use some of that money to share and make sure all kids have what they need. So let's see. We'll go to cart. Let's just do it. Proceed to checkout. And we're going to send it right to, hey, look, watch what will happen. When we go here, it says we can send it right to Community Action Network. Do you see it? Community Action Network. Let's send it. Use this address. Perfect. I've never shopped at church before, but this shopping is to make sure kids have what they need. Yeah, make sure they have. Okay, so here we go, and then we're going to go ahead and just save and finish and send it off, because we are sharing what we have, because we're listening, and we're listening to the ways that are helpful. Okay, got a mark here. All right, let's do it. Oh, maybe. Maybe I'll do that later. Right now we're going to get these from our gifts. Simeon saw something he thought would be good to give a calculator on that list. Okay, done. Hey, let's pray and ask that God would use these good tools to help kids do great learning, wondering about the world. Would you pray with me? Would you put your arms way above your head? God, we thank you for the gifts that you give. Would you put your arms out to your side? Maybe open like this. Help us be generous with what we have. Let's stretch our arms down. Because all kids should have what they need to learn. Okay, now let's move our arms like this. Help us be grateful and generous. Can we all say those words together? Help us be grateful and generous. Let's do it again. Everybody in the whole space can pray those words. Help us be grateful and generous. Amen. All right, let's head to church. Let's go together. Keep praying together. Will you join me as we pray? Believing we have an ever-present companion in God who laughs with us in joy and weeps with us in pain, let us share our prayers with God using the words today of Carol Prickett. We pray for the earth, for the oceans and farmlands, for the rainforests and tundras, for the crops that feed and clothe, heal, and house us. We rejoice in the summer months when we may enjoy and explore your creation. And at the same time, Lord, we grieve the devastation of the planet, both the destruction caused by natural disasters and by our own pollution. Send your healing touch upon the earth. We pray for all people of all ages, races, genders, religions, and walks of life. We rejoice in the diversity that brings beauty to our communities, and we grieve the prejudice that destroys them. We ask that you break down every dividing wall and make us into one people, loving and beloved. We pray for the church throughout the world. Strengthen her in service, witness, and love. Give her energy and vision for the future you are guiding her into. Heal her divisions and save her from isolating fear. Grow the church into your holy body. We pray for our nation, our state, and our city. We are grateful for the privileges we have in this country, and we pray for those around the world who live under persecution from their governments, who suffer from limited resources and blatant corruption. May all people everywhere have the freedom to vote and to worship, to access education and medical care. Give us eyes to see beyond mere statistics to our real human siblings who need our compassion. We pray for all who are sick today, whose bodies are worn and weary. We pray especially for those suffering illnesses the world would often rather not acknowledge, for those whose illnesses bring stigma and shame from their community rather than support and healing. Bless the sick with peace and courage, and those who take care of them with energy and wisdom and compassion. We pray for those we know to pray for by name. We pray for Jill Damon, for Betty Gerstler, for Mary Margaret Hatt, for Marilyn Marsh and Esther Floyd. We pray for Lauren Bowen and David Gregg, for Graham DePriest and Grange Burnside, for Fred Van Asdahl and Mrs. Essie Slaughter, Simona Butler, Mia Germano. God, we pray for your healing, for Tom and Terry Rubenstein, for John Rowe, for Faye Key, for Jackie, for John. We pray for ourselves and our ministries. We rejoice that you have enabled us to follow your call to love and to serve. We ask that you keep our eyes open to the needs and gifts of our neighbors, that we may work in companionship for the coming of your kingdom. We lift now the prayers of our hearts in silence. And now let us join with Christians throughout time and space as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As I went home.
Words of Jesus from the Gospel according to Matthew. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you life. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of the Lord. When Paul Tillich, a theologian, was a teenager in Germany, he had a really bad experience in church. Kids his age were preparing for confirmation, and each one was asked to choose a scripture passage that was important to them and then recite it to the congregation. Tillich chose, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." His instructors were not pleased. "You're a 15-year-old boy in happy circumstances. What do you know about being heavily burdened and needing rest for your soul?" Tillich later wrote, "I had no answer for them, but I was embarrassed. And I knew that my choice was right." How is it that these grown-ups didn't know that teenagers can struggle with heavy burdens too? Very heavy ones. But that's the thing about our burdens, that we all carry them, and that no one else can know, as we do, how heavy our own burdens may be. The burdens that you carry can be made of different stuff than mine. Our difference can be of different weights, yours heavier perhaps at times than mine. But what might they be, our burdens? Here are some possibilities. Some burdens are imposed on us by other people in our past. Parents can do this, or spouses, or partners, or others who are close by. Maybe they had impossible expectations of us. Maybe it was their neediness, or their abuse, or neglect, or their shaming. Maybe somebody damaged you, and it was like they were saying, "Here, carry this for the rest of your life." Bad religion can sure do it, imposing lifelong obligations and guilt. Jesus probably had this in mind in our text. Some religious leaders in his context had a real talent for laying mountains of expectations onto the backs of the people, then shaming them for not living up. In fact, Jesus would later say of those religionists, "They lay heavy burdens on the shoulders of others and don't lift a finger to help." Jesus is still in the business of setting people free from tyrannical religion. But of course, much of what we carry wasn't laid on us by others. We ourselves carry heavy loads of worry, of frustration for all that goes undone, burdened by our own incapacities, and burdened, yes, by grief. You lose someone you dearly love, and you find that their absence is less like an empty space and more like a stone in your chest. Grief is a heaviness. So also is the knowledge of the harms we have done. Our sins against other people, our sins against ourselves. What damage we know we have done, and we hear that God forgives and our guilt is taken away, but there it still is, the sickening weight of how we failed. But there's more. Piled on top of all of that is the current wreckage of the world as we know it. The horrors of massive suffering and violence, the stripping away of human rights, all the losses and the lies, the hypocrisy. If you care at all, it is a crushing weight on your soul. And in that instance, the burden we bear, does it not pertain to love? Love for those who suffer. Love for those who are losing their rights. Love for what is true and just and right. Love for the earth. Love is often a very hard thing to carry. And that stone in the chest that is grief, isn't that love? And how much of our guilt and regret pertain to love? And the burden of our yearning, the same. The heaviest burden of all can be love. In Toni Morrison's novel Song of Solomon, there is a character named Porter who from his attic shouts out his need for someone to love him, for someone he can love. And he's drunk when he says this, but it is his truth. I'll take hate any day, but I can't take no more love, Lord. I can't carry it. It's too heavy, Jesus. You know all about it. Ain't it heavy, Jesus? Ain't love heavy, Lord? If it killed Jesus, what do you think it's going to do to me? And yet, here stands the Lord of love, Jesus, embodiment of all that love must be, saying to this massive crowd of burdened people, you and me included, come to me. I'll give you rest. What do you think he means by that? I don't know. Not altogether. Not from my own experience altogether, to be perfectly honest. But I'm pretty sure that at very least, he means that some of what we carry, we should not have to keep carrying. And that the power of divine love can lift it off our shoulders. Shame, tyrannical regret, sick religion, failures, resentments, false ego, false guilt, the need to be perfect, none of that mess has a rightful claim on you. You were made to be freer than that. And though it may take a long time and some solid mental, emotional, spiritual work, love can grow you past it. Old wounds can be mended. Failure can be trusted into the hands of one who heals. And as far as your misguided need to take care of everybody and everything, and feeling guilty if you can't, it is possible that Jesus smiles at you when saying, "Thank you for your application to the position of God, but the position has been filled." Oh, and there's this. If it's real guilt you carry, guilt for doing what is actually wrong, or for failing to do what is actually and necessarily right, if the guilt is real, hear the good news. Truly, grace is upon your life, and truly all your sin and all our sin is truly and forever forgiven. Divine love has cut the cord, and it falls away, this burden. You can unbend your back, stand tall, and lift up your face, and it's Christ's own gentle hand that can lift it. Provided, of course, that we are willing for burdens such as this to be removed from us. Maybe we don't want that. Maybe less burdened life would be scary. It would be scary maybe to be that free of our old baggage. It might be scary to feel threatened like that with real intimacy and perhaps taking a new kind of actual responsibility for ourselves. So here's a sad little secret. Some of us prefer a badly burdened life. It's a known quantity. And if it isn't especially a happy life, well, unhappiness is at least a good hiding place. Cultural and literary critic Terry Eagleton said, "We do not want a light yoke. We want to hug our chains." But aren't you tired of it? Tired of being soul weary to your core? And do you suppose it's possible that your deep inner weariness is in fact a gift being given to you, that the groaning exhaustion of your life carries in it an invitation to you for something to change? Listen to the wisdom of your weariness. I love a line that Leonard Cohen has in one of his songs. "I've been saved by a blessed fatigue." So what change might be needed to live a less spiritually fatigued existence? Well, listen again to the invitation. "Come to me," he says. "Draw nearer to the light of divine love. Move," excuse me, "move your life closer. Breathe it in, God's love. Lean your life into it, Christ's love. You will drift away from it, yes, for all of us do, but we can keep returning over and over, breathing it, listening to love's word for us. The Spirit keeps saying, come to me, come to me. So you and I can cultivate nearness to God. Cultivate openness to God's nearness to us. Listening to love's word for us, which is, love wins. Love wins. And some bad burdens begin to fall away. But there's more in what Jesus says. His invitation adds these words. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest for your soul. Take my yoke and learn. In Jesus' day, that was an expression actually used by rabbis to invite and enlist a student to come and learn the rabbi's instruction and live by that teaching. So when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, he means come and live in the way I tell and in the way I show. And guess what? When he adds, my yoke is easy, the word easy doesn't mean easy like a piece of cake. The word he uses for easy means well-fitting. His way, his commitments, his concerns, his hope, his joy is a good fit for us. It is not unnatural for who we are made to be. It's the kind of life we flourish in. It is the burden of love. Didn't we say a few moments ago that love may be the heaviest of all burdens? Yes, but not if our love is less tangled up in ego and in our neediness. And not if we hold it more lightly, with less anxiety and with more trust. And if love is married to hope. That's the Christ kind of burden of love. Difficult? Yes. Challenging? Absolutely. But no one should live with an unburdened life. The question is not, will you carry something or not? The question is, does it fit you well, and who will you carry it with? And does it matter? And besides, when he says it's his yoke that we carry, it just might mean that it's a yoke not for solo use, but built for two and more. So that the yoke to which we're called is a yoke he already bears. And we walk beside him in the bearing of it in that good company. And it's not the kind of burden you bend beneath. It's the kind that you rise to. In the company of Christ, in the fellowship of so many others doing the same, something in us, in that kind of burden bearing, will be still. At some kind of rest. During the Montgomery bus boycott in the mid-1950s, the boycott inspired by Rosa Parks, carpools were taking some people to their jobs across town. But there weren't enough cars for everybody, and besides, many of the people in the boycott wanted to walk to make a public witness against the bigotry of that system. One of those who walked was an elderly woman named Mother Pollard. She was an elder of the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Montgomery. Very old, but still had to work a job across town. So she walked for miles every day. Her pastor was young, 26 years old, Martin Luther King Jr. He pled with her, Mother Pollard. He asked her, please, given her age, just to take a bus. She said, no, I'm walking till it's over. He said, Mother Pollard, aren't you tired? And she said, my feet are tired. My soul is rested. So may we lay down our soul-draining burdens and take up the life-giving burden that is God's love for all the world and for us. And as long as that road may be, and as tired as we may become for the right reasons, may we go on in the confident hope and in the truer discernment that comes from a rested soul. So much to give, so much life, so much by way of resources and time, so much by way of love. We cannot worship, dear friends, and hear good news and not be awakened to response with news of our own. Let our own news include the offering of ourselves. that comes the invitations to be near as well to one another's hearts. May the peace of Christ be with you. Hey. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's own countenance shine upon you and give you every grace. Grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to give something big for something good. Grace to know that the world is now too small for anything but love and too dangerous for anything but truth. So may Christ take your minds and think through them. May Christ take your lips and speak through them. May Christ take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.